countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Now with our highest ever readership of 321,000 weekly readers.
Irish Rural Link is a network of 600 local groups dedicated to the sustainable development of rural Ireland, and the organisation is counting down to a landmark conference in Athlone next Friday where it celebrates its 30th anniversary. Seamus Boland is CEO and he joins me this morning now from the RT studio in Athlone. Seamus, good morning.
Good morning, Damien.
So for our listeners, will you explain what you do at Irish Rural Link? Who do you represent?
Well, I think we represent ordinary Irish communities, rural communities, people who have set up development associations, people who want to grow their own community, to bring jobs to their own community, to bring social activities, and of course, all sorts of services that they normally should expect, and to grow all of the reasons why people should live comfortably in the rural areas. Yeah. I think our basic motto is sustainable rural communities.
And I've often heard you saying that you represent the brothers and sisters of farmers.
Yes. I remember I was in trouble with my farming colleagues, and remember farming is the main industry in rural Ireland, and they were trying to figure out what was it that we stood for. And he said, finally, I know what you mean. We represent the farmers, you represent the brothers and sisters. So I thought that's not a bad definition as well.
But you do a bit of it yourself, don't you?
I do a bit of farming, yes. I've on 80 acres, it's where I was born. We still do a bit of beef and sheep, not as much as we used to. Did pigs and dairying once upon a time, all of that. But love the farming.
Yeah. Now, while you may argue that farmers, you know, getting all the cap money, that it should be maybe spread out a little bit more beyond the farm gate. And I think listening to you at different conferences over the years, that would have been an argument that you would have made. Do you still think that, Seamus?
We've always made the argument that the Rural Development Programme should have covered a wider range. I remember a young lady in Galway at a conference, a European conference, and she asked an interesting question. She was a hairdresser in a very rural area, and she said, I'm a hairdresser, I have my own business, I have lots of costs living in rural Ireland, etc., but I don't get anything. And it was an interesting comparison in terms of assistance. But look, it's not that we want to take away from the farmers, we never ever said that, but we simply said that the budget for growing the rural communities and to create a situation where people can stay and live as a matter of choice in their own areas should be developed. And when you think of the problems affecting small towns and villages over the years, I think our criticism back in the 90s has been borne out, because we haven't fully guarded those areas and make sure the investment has gone in.
Yeah, but you see, at the same time, though, that cap money, we were only talking about cap earlier on, as you will have heard there, that money is spent locally, so that the hairdresser mightn't be in business if the farmer and the farmer's family weren't receiving cap to stay on the land and be able to spend that money locally.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we would have never disputed that. The cap money not alone kept farmers in the businesses on their farms, and remember, we have a very larger smallholder network than we've ever had in any other country in Europe. So that cap money was absolutely essential, and yes, it did that. But I suppose what you have to try and develop is a situation where people in the wider stream of occupations can actually live there as well. And unfortunately, we've seen the results of that. Towns and villages have suffered a great deal. Certainly in the 90s, we're suffering in the zeros as well. Yeah. So that's slightly changing now at the moment.
And when you say suffering, like, go back to 1990 or 91 or 2 when you started. Think of any local town or village in rural Ireland then. It was thriving. There was, there was the ubiquitous number of pubs, maybe a bank, post office, small family news agent, and so on. A lot of those towns have been bypassed, and you go through them now, Seamus, and they're like ghost towns.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, that's the that is the reality that, unfortunately, a number of things, I suppose, it's worth noting that, in a sense, the car contributed to some of this, because these large, massive supermarkets began to mushroom all over the place. So people began to drive, and sometimes drive out of their own village, because, I suppose, the supermarket gave a cheaper product, etc. But in doing that, they neglected. I remember writing an article once upon a time on post offices closing, and I got myself into some trouble by saying, well, it would help if we all used the post offices. And I think what we found in the pandemic, when we started to, you know, use our local shops, use our local services, there was an amazing change in how they developed. And in some sense, Minister Humphrey's announcements over the year of hubs and businesses begins to bring us back to that place, which is, I think, a good place to start.
But is all of that, and the closing down of post offices, banks, small shops, as you said, isn't that just part of evolution, the evolution of life, that no matter how much we lament it, and we'd love to have those idyllic little villages with everybody living there and with a selection of shops, it's not the way we live anymore. And there was nothing we were ever going to be able to do to stop it. And it's something that's happening not only in Ireland, but across the world.
I think so. Look, you can say that. As I said, it's very much part of the car culture that started, and we began to use two systems. We had these large systems of food distribution, and we stopped doing the local food distribution. You know, one of the great strengths in rural Ireland over the few years, Damien, I think you've covered it yourself, is the farmer markets and the small cooperatives. Okay, these could be, I think, the answer. And if we're talking about a changing society, which we are, in terms of climate change, in terms of the current massive crisis that we're in at the moment, I think we need to start looking back at shortening those food chains considerably. But that takes a lot more effort and policy than we have right now. And I think that's the way forward. So it's not a natural thing to think that this will continue forever. I don't think it will.
Seamus, I'm sure you've been following the whole turf debate closely, not least because you're an Offaly man.
Yes.
And a picture has been painted of rural Ireland, you know, being attacked and people going to go cold in their homes. In the context of decarbonising from smoky fuels, what is your take of what you've seen in the last few weeks?
Yes, Irish Rural Link have been really involved in this, as you might know, Damien. And to me, it's a straightforward reality of fuel poverty. That's what it was back when the directive to conserve bogs was introduced nearly 10, 12 years ago, and it hasn't changed. The reality is we have the guts of 100,000 households in that kind of income bracket, middle income to lower, really dependent on the old Stanley 8 or the old stove, and that's the system they have, and to change that system costs money. Of course, turf is cheaper than any other fuel, so there has never been a great encouragement to change that system. But I think we have to change it now. It is fuel poverty, and the reason why people are angry was that they still haven't managed to change their fuel systems, and until they do, they remain angry.
Okay, well, Seamus, congratulations on the 30 years. You've really led that organisation very well in that time. And your conference is on in Athlone next Friday.
Yes, it's moderated by Kieran Mullooly from, or formerly from this parish. And we have a great selection of panellists. Our chairperson, Tara Farrell, will be very much present. And we have people like Pat McDonough of Supermax speaking, Conor Skehan, Dr. Maura Farrell, Mark Foley of Airgrid, and I'm Fintan O'Brien of the Department of Agriculture, and many more. So it'll be a gathering of everybody, old and new, and I hope in the Sheraton Hotel people can tune in or even come up and see us.
Okay, and more information on irishrurallink.ie. Congratulations, Seamus. Thanks for joining us from our Athlone studio there.